Welcome to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. Thanks for joining us on our ongoing culinary exploration of the beautiful Comox Valley.
Well, Darren, welcome back. We're here at the Studio Live studio here in beautiful Cumberland, BC.
Yeah, thanks for joining in with us. Today is a big episode for us. It's our 50th episode. And it's also our first one that we're doing live in front of an audience.
That's right. Today we've invited the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association to join with us and just sort of see what we do here and get a little bit of feeling for what it's like to do a podcast and hopefully maybe to make a few of them feel easier about coming in and sitting down and chatting with us.
They're all future guests.
Future guests. Just remember that. And there's a few past guests here too, actually, which is great.
Yeah. Great. So today we have Jillian Watts from?
From the BC Meats for BC Markets.
Right. Great. Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about what you do there or what your organization is about?
Yeah, well, we started off the association's its actual name is BC Association of Abattoirs. But when you're going out to market BC Meats, and when you tell the consumers, you know, well, we're the BC Association of Abattoirs, it doesn't really resonate well with them.
Right.
Well, what is an abattoir? And then you have to say, well, they slaughter the meat.
Right.
So it's not good. So the first thing I did was I said to you, okay, guys, we need a trade name.
Yeah. Right.
So our trade name is BC Meats for BC Markets.
Great.
And it's, the base of it was all of the meat processors across the province. But when we did the strategic plan, I said, there's only 50 of them. So I said, in order for us to really get moving, we need the whole value chain involved. So now our association includes producers. We've actually got more producers than abattoirs now.
Wow.
We've got the abattoirs. And then we have, on the other side, we have chefs. We have retailers, we have industry suppliers, people that supply products to the industry. So it's really becoming quite a fun, a fun group, and lots of networking.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And what is the end goal? What is it that you're trying to achieve?
Wow, what are we trying to achieve? One of the main things we're trying to achieve is to get more BC meats into BC market.
Right.
So increase the sales and the consumption of BC meats here in the province. And So that the abattoirs have more business and so that the producers are becoming more sustainable. Because when they can control, you know, their end selling price to chefs and stuff, then they can get a better value for their product. And our product here in BC is different.
Yeah.
It's much different. It's a beautiful province and we have such unique little valleys and places where we grow food that's all different. And it's not like the big commodity programs, you know, like maybe on the prairies or in other parts of the country. Not that I'm knocking the prairies, but we're small, we're differentiated. We're not a commodity type province.
Right.
So what are the key differences, would you say? Just flavor, taste? Is it just a whole different size of animal?
Do you want to talk about, if we're talking about the cattle, like the beef part of the industry, our beef industry here in BC is very much different and our abattoir industry is very much different because we're small.
Right.
You know, the feedlots in Alberta, you can get huge feedlots and the same in the States, huge. And everything's fed the same. Everything's, you know, in BC, they're mostly family operations.
Right.
And so the size of the actual cow-calf operation can be, the average size is probably, you know, 200 to 300 head.
Oh, wow.
And the animals spend most of their life on the rangelands, on natural rangelands of BC, on the crown lands, harvesting forage that those lands can't produce food because they're not arable.
Right,
you know, it's native grasses, it's native shrubs, it's things like that. And so the cattle are eating they're actually converting sunshine mm-hmm. into protein mm-hmm. from areas of our province that can't be used to grow food.
Right.
So yeah. that's the magic of the cow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
and whereas on the prairies, they're fed a lot of grain.
Right.
And they're on places that are arable. Right. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference in the meat. So that makes it more important to maybe look at BC meat?
Or BC Absolutely. Meat? Absolutely. And, you know, because our terrain and our soils and our areas in the province are so diverse, it's just like wines. You know, they talk about the regionality of the wines and things. It's the same with the beef, because the beef is what it eats. So forages in, say, Vanderhoof, BC, are much different than forages in Courtney.
Right.
So the beef's going to taste different. And it's neat. That's a very neat thing.
Right, yeah.
That we need to celebrate.
For sure. So how did you get involved in all of this?
Oh. Well, the... it goes back a ways, because I used to ranch in the Horsefly area of BC, which is up near Williams Lake.
Okay.
And I was, you know, you send your cattle to the market and you get a certain price, right? And it's not very good a lot of the time, right? And so I was looking for ways to increase the value from my beef. And I had a lot of, I had a B&B, fly fishing and stuff. So people would come, visitors would come, and I started getting our beef butchered for the visitors, and pretty soon there was an interest in it. And then my butcher also up there did beef jerky, so we started selling that, and it just kind of took off. And I eventually moved down to Kamloops and went to work for Thompson Rivers University after I did my MBA in agriculture. And so the butcher that I had, the abattoir in Horsefly, came to me and said, "We've just started this new organization. We've just started in 2009, and we need a strategic plan." And he knew that that was kind of what my specialty was. So he said, "Can you come and do it?" So I said, "Sure." So I went, and through the university, I contracted to do a strategic plan. And then once we got the strategic plan done, we started doing more projects, because I work for the research office. So we started doing some market research. We started doing, through John Church, Dr. John Church, in the meat sciences lab, we started doing some, you know, some nutritional analysis testing. Okay. So we started doing all these things. And then they tried hiring someone to run their programs, and it just wasn't working very well. So then they came back to me and said, "Can you just come work for us?" So there I was. Last fall, I left Thompson Rivers University to work for the abattoirs full time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So have you found, since sort of everything's become an active effort, have you found that things are moving forward? Like, is there much resistance? Are people welcoming this, you know, this push and focus on BC beef?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. We're getting these programs up and running, and it's just so wonderful, because we're at a wonderful time in terms of consumer, what they want and what the chefs want, what the stores want, because consumers drive what the stores want.
Right.
And we've had such high demand for what we're doing, and it's just really an exciting time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So can you maybe just walk us through how we get our hands, as a chef, how I get my hands on this local BC beef?
Well, that's what everybody asks. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our programs are, that's what the research tells us. So a lot of our programs are being developed just for that. So we've got a couple, we've got a couple of programs. One is it's just going to be launched here in February, and I'm so excited about it. And it's called BC Beef for BC Chefs. And we have a PowerPoint that we can show and talk about it later. But when I was at Thompson Rivers University, and we did the market research project, because I was gung-ho, because I grew up on a ranch, and I've seen ranches are just, they're dying like flies, because they can't make enough money. So I want to help them make more money, and that's what my passion is, right? So So when I was out with the students, the business students at Thompson Rivers University, we went downtown Vancouver. We did the Okanagan. We didn't come over to the island, and we should have. That was one mistake we made. But anyways, it was really fun. I had six of our business students from TRU in downtown Vancouver for a week. And we went to all the major hotels. We went to all of the funky restaurants, you know, the high-end ones. And one of the questions we asked is, if you had an online ordering tool that you could buy a whole carcass or half a carcass of beef, and you could say how you're cutting instructions, you could name your cutting instructions, and it would spit you out a cost per serving, would you be interested? Because the big challenge, the problem why chefs can't do that, particularly in the big hotels, is they need a cost per serving for their food service manager.
Absolutely.
And if they don't do, like, so they can't. And so that's their challenge. On the producer side, their challenge is they get, you know, they're good at producing. They don't have a sales force like GFS or Cisco, right? They don't have freezer space like GFS or Cisco. And so they get their beef cut, and it's cut into primals, say for restaurants, right? Well, in the first week, all the middle cuts are gone.
Right.
Of course.
And the chefs want more.
Right. And they're stuck.
And then we've got the rump and the front, and they're left with it. And so their freezer gets more and more loaded with all this. And it's just a problem. And then they have to sell it at discount prices. And it's just a big fiat. It's very, very difficult for them. Mm-hmm. Plus, they don't have their delivery trucks, you know, so they're shipping maybe in, you know, inefficient ways. Right. You know, they're food safe ways, but they're in places like with Clark's and things like that.
Where they're paying a premium for the service.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so when I asked that question to the chefs, the question about that, or my students asked, or our students asked, 65% of the people interviewed said yes, they'd be interested. I couldn't believe it, because I thought it might be 10%.
Wow.
Right? So I went to Investment Agriculture Foundation of BC, and we put in an application for funding, and I nagged at them until they gave it to us, basically. And so now we're about to launch this program. So the chefs can order online. The consumers want to know how to get BC beef, either from a restaurant or from a store. Now we're just finishing off a BC Meats phone app, and that'll be for all of the meats, including duck and goose and buffalo and bison and everything. So you'll be able to go on the phone, and wherever you want to be, if you're local, or if you want to say, where in Prince George can I get, when can I buy it, you can do it. So
saves a lot of the challenges that I find in a day-to-day, is trying to track down some of that stuff.
It is, and it's especially hard for beef.
Right,
yeah,
for sure. And that's always one way I've kind of stayed away from it. Because, I use a lot of the center cuts there. But I always like that. I like to have that feeling that, you know, I could bring in those other cuts and challenge myself to find other uses for it.
Exactly.
And, you know, create some really amazing dishes, I think, that aren't really mainstream, you know, and challenge the consumer to try that local food and flavors. So
good for you, because that's the heart of this program. What it's going to do is it's going to challenge the chefs. And what some of the chefs have been finding is that these lower value meats that they wouldn't normally use, now they're actually making money.
Right.
They're
because
fabulous.
People love them.
Right.
And like a lot of the slow cooker things, like the briskets and things like that. Yeah.
There's amazing flavors. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of us stick to doing, I'm seriously sick of just cooking steaks.
I'm seriously not sick of eating them, though.
I would never go there.
Oh, dear.
But sometimes, you know, it's just like, let's try something a little bit different, you know? Like, even, I'm not saying like all steaks, but doing the New York steak, it's fun to do a flank steak. Or
absolutely.
Just those other cuts, and really challenge yourself to doing that.
And we've learned, like, our producers and our abattoirs, now that we've got the association, they're so much more working together now and talking, and they come together at the networking events and the chefs. And they're finding, like, this one, there's so many lunch-type steaks, mm-hmm. that they never even used to cut up that way. It used to be put into something else that was low value, and now they're cutting that part off really nicely and putting it, you know, so it's just really, this program's really helped build that.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wonderful. This sounds great. So what kind of information can you find on the websites about the farms and the ranches and the abattoirs and that?
Well, when we started doing trade shows this year for the first time, and all the questions were, where can I buy it? Where can I buy it? Where can I buy it? Not like questions as much about, they were in. I'm in. Where can I buy it? So we started a consumer website called BC Meats. Mm-hmm. So it's bcmeats.ca, and you can go on to that, and there's information on our phone app, and there will be a link to you know, get the phone app once it's ready. And then for each of the proteins, there's a page on the website. So you click on Certified BC Beef, and it brings up all the producers and all the abattoirs and all the places to buy BC Beef. And, like, it's not as well done as the phone app's going to be, but at least it's there. And there's a picture of each of the producers. There's not a profile or anything yet, but there's pictures of them. And then pork, same. Poultry, same. So we've got, it's a good start, our BC Meats website. So.
Wow. Sounds great. And so anybody can just go on there and, like, is it ready? You can purchase right now?
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
Yeah. You can go on there and you can find out where to purchase. There's links to everybody's websites, and yeah, you could, if you wanted to look at all the websites for all the people on there, you'd be there.
Wow.
You'd be there for a couple of days.
That's great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, what are your plans for the future of the organization?
Well, we're launching our two programs here in the next couple months, which is the BC Beef for BC Chefs. We've got another program because if we're going to grow and we're going to get more meats into our BC market, the first thing we have to do is we have to be quality, consistent quality. And so this is what I'm down here on the island doing as well, as I'm meeting with producers, training them on a new system called BC Beef Quality Information System. And it's a traceability system and a carcass assessment system. So that before in BC, because only the big, huge plants have graders in them to grade the meat. So in BC, we don't have any federal plants, so we can't, the meat's not graded. So I'm like, okay, well, that's not good enough. We're just going to have to learn how to do it ourselves. So we've got we've got 16 beef or red meat abattoirs have signed up, and we're getting them digital. They've got a phone app, or they've got a, not a phone app, a, there's the BC Beef Quality Information System is on a tablet.
Okay.
So they take the tablet into the plant, and it's all on the animal's tag number, their CCIA tag number. That's right. How it's traced. Yeah. And so they enter the tag number, and then as it goes through the process, it's tracked. And then when it's hung for 2 weeks and they go to cut it up, they grade it.
Okay.
So they evaluate the carcass. And we have a fellow out of Armstrong who's training everybody. And our grading system, I shouldn't call it grading because it's not right. It's called the BCBQIS Carcass Evaluation System, because it's different.
Right.
And we can't have it being mixed up with the federal grading system.
So it's not like you have your AAA, your AA.
It actually is. But we had meetings with everyone, all the producers, and in BC we have a lot more grass-finished beef, and it's healthy, and we don't want it to be docked for its fat color.
Right.
Because when grass-fed beef got a little more of an amber fat color, and that amber is actually vitamin A. Right. And people, you know, in the federal grading system, it's downgraded badly for the fat color. But in our BC carcass evaluation system, it's not.
Okay.
And the other thing that our abattoirs felt, that it needed a little bit more outside fat. So I think that they're asking for a little bit more on the fat cover.
Okay.
But it's just so that the meat is juicy,
right,
and not, you know, and it's not over finished or anything.
I always say fat is flavor. So
yeah. And you know, I think that nutritionally it's coming around.
Yeah, I think they've actually just released studies saying that
sugar is actually bad, fat is good.
Exactly. hit the fat, stay away from the sugar.
Yeah, I'm all in.
Yes.
So we're releasing that program. And so what it is that the producer will get the information back right away. As soon as it's graded, he can go online with that tag number and he can say, wow. And when they grade it, they take a picture of the steak. So it's on the database. So the producer can actually go on, see it. He can get a picture of that steak and email it to the chef.
Wow.
And email it to the store to say, here's what's coming. And wow. It's AAA or it's AA or whatever. So it still has those AAA, AA prime. But okay. Then it also has a numerical score because we want the producers to be able to index their animals to say, oh, this is the best carcass. This is the second best, third, fourth. And we can do that on a numerical system. So they've also been given a number out of 70, the carcasses. And so, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, and the one thing I'm trying to explain here is that in BC, a lot of producers have lost the art of finishing because they've sent their animals to Alberta as calves. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get back that art in BC. We have to relearn it. And so this program will really help them learn it fast because they can put in all the animals from the South Field. Like if they put in South Field.
Oh, okay.
And they'll get all the carcass results from that field. Or they can put in all the Angus. Like they can sift for Angus. They'll get all the carcass results. So they'll be able to see their carcass results based on different parameters of production.
Right.
And they'll be able to. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's just
getting
amazing.
Scientific.
Yeah, well, it's the technology to be able to follow your food now is, I know they've been doing it for fishing for a while now. And so
yeah.
It's really neat to see it moving in. Well, I guess they've been doing it with beef for years too, but I know most people don't realize how much their food is tracked actually. So.
Yeah. But they haven't had the connection between the producer and the abattoir.
Yeah.
Like in the federal grading system, you don't get your results back. The people that sell the animals and they go to Alberta, they don't see their results.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the big guys, I don't think want them to know if it's good because they'll want more money. But in BC, we're trying to be a value chain. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I guess it's more of a personal question, but your favorite cuts of beef? On the spot.
I love a short rib.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I love brisket.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm going for the fatty cuts, aren't I?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And, of course, I love a New York, too.
Yeah. There are. I may just complain about grilling them, but I love them myself. So.
Yeah. I'm actually a lamb producer, so we eat a lot of lamb in our house as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lamb's one of my favorites too. So,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
And that is that at all lamb? Is that going to come into play at all, or is that already in play?
It is. We have on our BC Meats website. We have a lamb thing, but what we're doing is actually we started with beef because it's the one that was the most challenged. The beef industry, the producers are the most challenged in BC. So we started with the system for beef, but this BC beef quality information system, we're going to Prince George next week to expand it with the BC Sheep Federation to lamb and then pork and bison. So that all will be done by April 30th. We'll have all the proteins on and it's going to not be called that anymore. It'll be called BC Meats Quality Information System.
Wow.
So you'll be able to go through anything. So
yeah.
So it'll be from
that's
chicken to beef.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that'll be really great. Yeah. I'm excited about that because then I'll get my carcass results back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking with us today.
You're welcome. It's fun. Yeah. What a great group here.
Yeah. And just one last time, for people who are interested, just where can they find out more information?
Well, consumers can go and chefs can go to for more information on how to buy and where and who is it's called bcmeats.ca. And for chefs, we have our coming soon site for BC BeefNet already up. And you can go on there, and hopefully we can see it in a little bit here, the demonstration video for BC BeefNet. So you go to bcbeefnet.ca, and you can click on the demonstration video.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you for sitting down with us today.
You're so welcome.
All right. Well, I guess that concludes episode 50.
Episode 50 is done.
All right. And I guess just one last thing. If you want to talk about anything that you heard today, or if you have any questions, contact us at ediblevalley@gmail.com. Or check out the website, ediblevalley.com, or look for us on Facebook at Edible Valley Podcast .nothing.facebook.
Facebook.
Thanks.
Thank you. You've been listening to us at the Studio Live in Cumberland, BC. We graciously accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website at ediblevalley.com.
And like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your questions and comments at ediblevalley@gmail.com. We would love to hear your suggestions for guests or what you'd like to hear on our show. And don't hesitate to send John your cooking questions or pick our brains for local food information. Remember,
Keep it local.